Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
All right, so faith is not just something that we believe, right? It's something that we actually have to live. And chapter 9 of Steps to Christ reminds us that a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ naturally will lead to action. It's not just going to be all talk. And when we experience his love, we cannot help but share it. Our daily lives, our interactions, and even the smallest acts of kindness become a reflection of Jesus' character. And this chapter challenges us to move beyond passive Christianity, beyond just being all talk, into a faith that actually serves and uplifts and, my favorite word for this year, transforms. All right. So Elder Dennis Chisenga joins us once again for a conversation on chapter 9 of Steps to Christ. We'll be reviewing this chapter together today as well as on Thursday. So make sure that you engage with us on +27 7347 03520. My Elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Elder Dennis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can get you.
Perfect. I can hear you as well. All right. I'm glad that we're able to get through. So, my Elder, we're talking about Steps to Christ, Chapter 9, The Work and the Life. Would you maybe start off with a prayer for us and then just guide us through just a basic summary of what this chapter is talking about?
Okay. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful morning which you've accorded us, and we appreciate for the blessing of life. Our prayer is that may you continue to abide with us and may you help us to abide in you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, my Elder, we're ready. We're ready for the summary.
Okay. When we talk about chapter 9 of Steps to Christ, you know, the whole book is just telling us of how we can make steps to have Christ in our lives. In fact, Christ has already made steps to us, so it's about us making steps to him. Mm. So when we look at chapter 9, we are finding the aspect of, it's talking about how we can live out our belief and how we can be able to be a people who are able to transform the world through Christ who is in us. For example, I can take, for instance, when we look at paragraph, page 77, that's paragraph where it says, God is the source of life and light and joy to the universe. Mm. So we can talk about, you know, there are people who say, you are my joy, you are my happiness, especially those in Romans. Yeah. But you see, the source of joy, it's Christ, mm-hmm. even in relationship circles. Mm-hmm. If Christ is not in you, you can't lead your relationship well. Your family cannot see the love. So we find even, for instance, you talk about a garden. You cannot water except you have a source where water is coming from.
Right.
And the water can't reach the garden except there's a pipe. So us, we are like a pipe which is transmitting this love which God has to the world. We can also talk about when we receive this joy which Christ gives us. Mm-hmm. When you talk about part 2 of the same chapter, it says the uplifting, that is of Christ's love and redemption of fallen men. It talks about it being the center. For example, there's a quote where they've quoted Matthew 20, verse 28, mm-hmm. which reminds us that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Mm. So this wasn't a suggestion. It was his life purpose. When we say we follow Christ, we mm-hmm. are saying we follow his example of service.
Yes.
And this means more than just attending church. You know, some of us, we think when we go to church, then we've done the service of Christ. So it is more than just attending church. It's about seeing the needs around us, not just seeing them, but actually responding to them. Mm. Previously, just this Saturday, there was Global Youth Day where there was a theme, a community transformed. Mm. And for me, I believe if we are to transform the community, we as a community of believers need first to be transformed.
Amen.
So we cannot just see the problems people are going through without doing anything. Imagine I'm hungry. Then you come and just say, let us pray. When you have the food, give me the food.
Right.
Then you pray, because the energy to pray with, for the food.
Right, right.
So,
right.
Yes, sure.
Beautiful. I love that. I like the idea of an action-based faith, not just all talk, not just all the sermons and the prayers. While those are good and they have their place, but there must also be some action behind it.
True, true. In fact, when we read the Bible in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, he that abideth in him ought to walk as he walked. So if Christ did not come to be served, but to serve, we equally must be there to lend a helping hand. When we see a person who is homeless, instead of just walking by, let's buy them food. This is faith in action. That's what it means to have faith in action. You know, as I was going through the same chapter 9, I was led to paragraph 4, where it says, love to Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work as he worked. So you must have the desire to work the way Jesus worked. That is when you can manifest the love which he has for the world. So it's not just about feeling love. Love is not just a feeling, it's showing it. I remember way back there was a theme again which we had under youth ministry, love is a verb.
Mm-hmm.
So same applies. Before love becomes a noun, which is a word, it must first become a verb.
Yeah.
So a parent, for example, loves their child. And that love shows in how they care for them.
Mm.
So our love for Jesus should be just as practical as it is. And in a real life, this could be shown by visiting a sick friend, helping a coworker with a difficult task, for example. Mm. They have a lot of work to do and you're done with your work. You can help them. It's not that no, every one of us get paid the same. We can show that love. Even just offering a listening ear to someone who is struggling. These are all ways that we can show our love for Jesus Christ.
Powerful.
Yes. Again, another thing which drew my attention is how Steps to Christ, page 78, paragraph 2, connects with this aspect of sharing our faith. There's a quote which says on the same paragraph too, no sooner does one come to Christ than there is born in his heart a desire to make known to others. You see, Jesus Christ is like a grenade. You cannot unleash a grenade and just hide it in your pocket. It will burst. So same thing, when we receive Christ, we cannot just stay idle. You know, it's so surprising that there are people who have been working for more than a month at their workplace, and people don't know that they are Christians.
Nice.
People don't know that they are Adventists. Then there's a problem with their Christ in their hearts.
Mm.
It's not the Christ which we are, because the Christ who we know, the Christ of the Bible, the Christ who came and lived on this earth, you cannot hide him. He will show himself to the world through your works, through your words, through your actions. So it is, for example, first year, when we read John 1, verse 29, Philip, we find in John 1, verse 29, immediately after he heard or he met Jesus, invited Nathanael to also meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question which we can ask ourselves is that, how does this desire to share our faith demonstrate faith in action?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer, it's simple. It shows when we show our faith in action by inviting others to Christ, by our lives each and every day being governed by the principles of the Bible, it shows that we are actively living out our belief and we are participating in God's mission to reach others. And you see, this could mean inviting a friend to church. That's how practical this can be.
Mm-hmm.
It also means sharing a testimony of God's faithfulness. You know, sometimes, you know, we've heard so many things spoken about, good things, even beliefs. And in the world where there are so many religions, how do we believe that this is true?
Mm.
A testimony has an impact on how we can have faith. And actually, in moments when we are tested and when we are tempted, when we look back into our life and discover on how God rescued us, we will exercise faithfulness even now in times of temptation because we have a testimony.
Yeah.
So that's what simply means living a life that reflects Jesus' love. Mm. And when we live it, we'll be able to draw others to Jesus Christ. There's a song which I love done by Shower Power from Zimbabwe, which talks about us being the salt to the dying world, for us to be the salt to the tasteless life. And they say, be a sermon in the shoe. Yeah. So that's it. When we live the message of Christ, when we let Christ act in us, then we'll be able to draw others to Jesus Christ.
Powerful.
And looking at in this same aspect of chapter 9, there is the joy of serving.
Yeah.
You see, some people, they love power so much, especially in leadership, where people are power mongers, where if today you choose them to be ushers, they'll feel as if the Holy Spirit has left them. But actually, there is joy of serving others in whatsoever category we are given, in whatsoever responsibility we are given.
Right.
But how do we find fulfillment in selflessness? Because for you to begin to serve others as Jesus did, where he even got a towel, imagine a master washing the feet of the disciples. Mm. How can we find fulfillment in these selfless acts? Mm. And this moved me to paragraph 1 of page 79 of the same chapter. Page 79, paragraph 1, reviews this aspect, and this is what it quotes.
Uh-huh.
And the effort to bless others will react in blessings upon ourselves.
Amen.
In short, there, what he's saying is that when we bless others, God will bless us in return.
Mm.
He who waters will be watered also. And why is it so? It is because serving others aligns us with God's nature. It's like exercising a muscle. You know, the more we serve, the stronger our connections will be to God. So it is even exercising. The more you exercise, the more your muscles become strong. So it is that the more we engage in the acts which God did, the more we become more like him.
Yeah.
And the more we become more like him, the more we think of helping others and helping those in need. And, you know, you tend to feel the sense of fulfillment because you will now begin to become a partner with God.
Amen.
You know, this challenges us to move from just working for God, but working with God. And there's a difference. When you just work for God, you are just reporting for duty. You're just showing up at church for the sake of others, knowing that you've come to church. But when you work with God, you take his mission as part of you. You cannot live without the mission of Christ in your mind. You cannot just end a conversation with somebody without saying something good about Christ to them. You cannot just finish your data bundles without sharing the gospel to someone. And you cannot just leave WhatsApp and social media without posting something to encourage someone about Jesus Christ. So that's what it means to exercise our faith. This is a paragraph, actually, also states this point, that this is the highest honor. The act of serving others is the highest honor, and it is the greatest joy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this, it's not just a poetic language, it's a profound truth. And in a world that glorifies self preservation, God flips the script.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
In short, God is saying true joy isn't found in what we get, but in what we give.
What we give. Amen.
For example, yes, those who volunteer, let's say at soup kitchens, at disaster relief, they often express a deep sense of joy. And in the midst of this very difficult circumstance, when they help others, they in fact relieve themselves from thinking of themselves and the problems which surround them.
Mm.
In short, when you help others, you remove the focus on yourself. In short, you distract yourself. Then you begin to exercise selflessness. Remember I said about working with God and not just working for God.
Yes.
And that we find the same steps to Christ. The page is 79, paragraph 2, where it emphasizes our role as co-workers with God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tremendous privilege. You see, God could have used angels, but he chose us.
Yes.
And this shows how much he values our service.
Mm-hmm.
God sharing his work with us. It is a gift. And if it is a gift, we must cherish it. So imagine being asked to help build a house for someone who is in need. And this is being asked by a very important person.
Mm-hmm.
That is what God is doing. He is asking us to help him build his kingdom. He could have done it alone, but he wants you to participate.
Yeah.
And in you participating, you become more like him. It's like people who are doctors. The more they do that work, the more they begin to put themselves in the shoes of the patient, and they'll be able to go an extra mile. In short, they'll be able to actually know what is the problem. When they just talk to you, even just by looking at you, they'll be able to tell this and this is wrong about this person. That's what happens when we become co-laborers with God. We'll be able to notice the problems around us, and we'll be able to lend a helping hand. And finally, when you look at the same page 79, paragraph 3, it talks about what ties us to service. And the ties to service is the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ.
Mm.
And that is 2 Corinthians verse 8 to 9. In short, we are not saying, let's go and suffer for no cause, but we are saying, when we sacrifice for others, we participate in Christ's self-denial. And this is not about seeking suffering, but it's about being willing to put others' needs before our own.
Right.
And from here, I'm reminded of Mark chapter 2, where there are those four men who lifted up the lame man to take him to Christ.
Yeah.
It's not that they did not have problems. They had problems. But they saw the need of another person's need.
Wow.
And they got the need and took that need to somebody who has no need. And the need, in the presence of need, helped the need.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
Mm.
When we can't offer solutions, let's point people to where the solution is.
Yes.
I may not have the money, but I know somebody who has. I may not have the medicine, but I know somebody who has. I may not have the clothes enough to share, but there's somebody who has. So we can point people to solutions when we do not have the solution. And that's what it means. I think all in all, for today's discussion, this is what actually can help us to find peace and happiness in unselfish labor, when we put the needs of others first, and when we let Christ abide in us, then this all work will be made easy. In fact, we won't feel burdened to do service.
Mm-hmm.
We'll feel the joy because we know we are working with God. I think this is what we can have for today.
Oh, man, that's powerful. That's powerful. I think the lesson on service and putting other people's needs before our own, I think, is a very important one, and one that all of us, I think, can do better on, even if we are already actively trying to do that. There's always room for improvement. And of course, the thought of it being a gift. I know it's a sacrifice, but it's also a gift that God has given to us. Like you said, the paragraph that talks about the fact that he could have committed this work to the angels or done it himself, but he has chosen to be co-workers with us. That's incredible. That's such a privilege and an honor. So thank you so much for that reminder. And I look forward to continuing on with this chapter on Thursday. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.